I don't know if this mic is hot. We've got two of them going here, Tyler. But what we are doing is what we have made a custom here at Grace Doctrine Church. Whenever we have one of our members who's in harm's way, we fly his service flag. It gets up on this pole here. We've had pretty much all the flags up at one time or another. And when they return from harm's way and then make their first trip back to Grace Doctrine Church, we strike that color, fold it properly. Chief Petty Officer Watson will supervise that and presents it to the individual. Now, it's your turn. You've been off to places unknown, and you've come back safely and unscathed. We're happy that you're here with us, that you've taken the time to drop by. We appreciate the fact your wife and your entire family pretty much has been here for this. As you well know, I've known you since you were four. You don't remember that, I'm sure, you've riveted in your memory, I'm sure. But what I want to say to you before we pull the colors down is how much we appreciate, as a congregation, each individual here, what you are doing for the country, for the freedom that we enjoy to gather here and study the Word of God, and therefore to use the privileges that we have so enjoyed in this country over 235 years. There's a long list of heroes that have taken on the national uniform, moved into harm's way, and dealt with enemies of various descriptions at various times. You're among those. We congratulate you on what you're doing, your successes. We thank you for your service. And Gary, if you will lower that flag, you can present it to Petty Officer First Class, Tyler Risty. We will provide him with one of those fancy little boxes to put that in. And we thank you again, Tyler. What we'll do now is dismiss from the Walk of Honor and move back inside, and Tyler has a few comments he'll make to you there. Thank you very much. Back in 1984, when I made that trip up to Sioux Falls, there was a little munchkin running around. He was 4 years old, I'm told. And his name was Tyler. I thought he was named after the president, but it turns out to be some Pittsburgh Steeler football player, I think. I have considered the Risty family to be a member of Grace Doctrine Church ever since I got here. They have been loyal attendees via electronic contrivances for 27 years. And, of course, Tyler insists that since his Paver is out in the Walk of Honor, and that I met him at age four, that he is therefore a founder of Grace Doctrine Church. So it is my honor, it is my privilege to present to you founder. I was going to give his rank, but I think founder sounds better. Founder Risty.
Well, I can't thank you guys enough for that. It's an honor to me to feel appreciated, you know. Watch the news sometimes and listen to people. It's pretty disheartening over there, but I can tell you how honored I am to be given the opportunity to take precious time from Joe, teach you guys the truth. If you guys will let me speak a little bit. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much for all the welcome. And I sincerely want to thank the congregation and all the Doritos out there, like myself and my wife and my parents, for all the prayers you guys have given me, and all my coworkers overseas. It's not missed. I'm actually the reigning world champion at worst thank yous and returning of thank yous in the world. I'm working at it. My wife's beating it into my head. You know, people thank you and send you stuff. You gotta write back and do that. I'm horrible at it. I apologize. But every card, every little cartoon the kids send me is received, and I can't thank you guys enough. All the warm clothing you guys sent last appointment where we were for the winter, it was all worn and used, and just can't thank you guys enough for that. Sorry if I didn't portray that enough, but and all the books you guys send us for the entertainment over there, it's all appreciated, you know, so thank you very much. So I want to do this. It's been about 7 years since I spoke. I think once I graduated basic training, I came up here and talked to you guys. I don't know how many of you are there. I've met a bunch of you. I'm friends with some of you. And so I'll give this my best shot. And I also wanted to help Pastor Griffin out in proving to you all that I actually do exist. I know he talks about having friends. I know you guys have a problem believing that, but I'm one of them. And he's great. Like I said, I met him when I was 4, and I actually remember riding on his truck in the little pickup we had. There was 5 of us in that thing, 1 seat, in the winter. And I actually remember that, probably one of my earliest memories. But so actually, I am a founder, so... No, just kidding. I know I can't talk to you much about my job, just the command I'm at and the position I'm in. I apologize for that. I'd love to be able to tell you guys a story or two. I'd love to, but maybe someday in private. I would like to give you guys a visual, though. I suppose all of you have seen the Ten Commandments on TV, Easter time. My mom would love to watch that with us. We'd sit down every year and watch it. I still try and watch it when I'm in town now. But it stuck with me for all my deployments. And for you young people out there, anybody thinking about going to the military or listening on the internet, or any people who used to be in the military, this is my visual. I think to myself, my way of relating God to my life over there. So you guys all remember the pillar of fire that protects the Jews in the movie? That's always been stuck with me as a visual to myself. And the helicopter drops us off and we're ready to go assault the target. That's what I think of. That's my sense of calm when I'm patrolling in. We know we're going to danger. We know what's ahead of us, who's there waiting for us. It's my visual. I think of myself as I'm patrolling through the wastelands of full of Muslims. I'm envisioning that big pillar of fire. Now, I know nobody else can see it, but I see it. I imagine it's following us there from when we insert to when we extract. It's following me, it's protecting me, it's looking after all the guys. You know, some of the guys I work with, they're not Christians, you know. That's fine, but I'm with them, and I know that God's protecting them just because I'm there, and He's looking after me. And I attribute that to all the prayers you guys send out every week. I don't get to listen to you guys live when I'm overseas. I take Joe's books, take his CDs, and that's all I get over there. But I know you guys are here when I'm home. I hear you guys pray every week for us, for me and all the other guys that are stationed overseas. And I know you guys' prayers are what matter. You know, a lot of people pray in this country and it doesn't go past the ceiling. But this group right here is what's protecting our nation, what's protecting our guys overseas. And it's heard and it's appreciated. And it gives me the confidence that I've got nothing to worry about. I've got that big, gigantic pillar of fire following us. And every prayer you guys just feed that and make it more shelter for us from the satanic people over there. I just can't portray to you how much that means to us and to me. So any guys ever get in a situation? I know you're talking about being in the military, wanting to join soon. Anybody who's out there right now, if anybody can hear me, you know, if that visual helps them out, it does me. I operate well because I feel protected, and it lets you guys sleep calm. And that gives me all the all the gratitude and the can in the world. And seeing you guys appreciate it like this and honor me, it's kind of overwhelming. So I can't thank you enough. But if you ever find yourself in a situation that's scary or whatever, just maybe that visual will help. You know, think of that movie. It's a great movie. And I think of it every mission I go out on. So thank you guys. Thank all of you. Anybody who didn't make it here today, that's listening on the internet or, you know, is just out of town, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My wife thanks you. My parents thank you. She worries every night at home. And it's just my honor to serve all you people and to do my little part to protect this country and serve this country. So I thank you. I understand Joe wanted to do a little Q&A.
Okay to ask you questions. You won't necessarily answer.
If
you have any questions, feel free to post.
And do your best to filter them.
Do you have other believers in your group?
We do. I've witnessed lots of people over there. It's different with these groups. I know a lot of you guys have served in the military, but this group of guys is about as hard-headed and alpha male as you can get. So you don't just walk up to them and approach them with different ideas. It's more of a suggestion after something would happen, or you know, they see how you act or how you're feeling, you know, or a sense of calm or anything, or when tragedy hits, it's a great opportunity to talk to them. You know, it's no other followers of Joe specifically, but a lot of them do have been introduced to Joe's books or the Colonel's books through certain opportunities that I can take. But there are Christians over there in my group, so it's just introducing it to them can be kind of tricky sometimes. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I know you can't talk about your missions, but can you enlighten us a little on your training that you went through?
You want the whole the whole spectrum? Yeah, I can go into some of it. So we go through boot camp, just like everybody else. Enlisted, the officers, some are academy types, some are OCS from private schools. So we go through boot camp, go through A school. Some of the pipeline has changed now since I've been through. I think they're streamlining a lot of it for my line of work. So it's a little a little more fast track for those guys nowadays, but we used to have to go through boot camp, do our regular Navy school, and then go through our basic course, which is BUDS. I'm sure most of you have probably heard something about it, and that's actually what I spoke about last time I was here, but that's quite a while ago. So BUDS is pretty interesting and grueling. I've tried to block that out of my memory as much as possible. Wake up the cold sweats. But so BUDS is about, depends, about 6 to 8 months long. Again, they've condensed some of the schooling now. We used to do some Army schooling and things like that, but now we've kind of got our own pipeline for jump schools and advanced training. And then we go to advanced school where we actually become our position. And then you go do a couple of, you go jump into what they call a platoon. You do a workup, you deploy. Kind of luck of the draw where you go. Some of the times it's not always that great of a deployment. We have a lot of different job sets from the ones you guys see in the movies or hear on TV or anything like that. Some of it's pretty boring, but I've gotten a pretty lucky career. So I did a couple of those, a couple deployments, and then I screened for the command I'm at now. Some of you might be familiar with it. I don't know if any of you watched the the Discovery Channel a couple of weeks, week ago. I have to apologize for that. That was pretty terrible. Don't believe everything you see or hear. So to get to the command I'm at now is another about 8 month course to get through, and it's just selection after selection after selection. So I think it's about 3% of the guys that are in my profession actually make it to where the command I'm at now. So sorry, I can't be more specific. I feel kind of stupid trying to be vague and stuff, but like I said, maybe offline we could speak about this in private. Yes, sir.
We have been told by Joe on a few occasions generally where you're located in the world generally.
Uh-huh.
The information we get back here is very skewed, as you may know, as to the state of things in some of these areas you may have been into. Are you permitted to discuss the general zeitgeist or the nature of assault of the people or the communities that in these areas where you've been? Is it dark? Is it just completely hopeless? What's the sense of these people out there?
Yeah. I think I've seen enough of those types of countries now, the certain genre of people with all the same religious beliefs. Yeah, it's Sunday, so I'll try and control myself, but the feeling of, I'm just going to say, I'm just completely disgusted when I'm over there. There's no other way to put it. They're a disgusting culture. I'm being nice, but the way they treat their women, I mean, that right there just, it boils my blood. And any culture who does that to women, you know, our most prized possession here on earth, given to us by God as our partner, the way they abuse them and then are treated over there in that culture is just disgusting. And I spend half the time over there thinking how many of them I wish I could just take back and just give them a new life. You know, it's terrible. And I don't know how much of it, you know, is their fault. Is they're brought into this by the men that just rule them and suppress them. Just be thankful where you're born, ladies. You don't know how good you have it. Could be working a field somewhere. Is there hope for them? Maybe if we got them young enough. I don't know. I think anybody could respond to the Word of God, of course. I do believe they're put in a position in life because that's how they would have responded anyway. I don't know. I don't want to be too judgmental about it or anything, but if they're given the opportunity to respond, I'm sure they would. I feel pity for them, I'll tell you that. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. It's just something you can't explain. You have to go over there and see it. I don't want you to guys go over and see it because it's... just enjoy America. It's the greatest country on earth for a reason. Yes, ma'am?
How often do you get to communicate with your loved ones? And how do you comfort them or reassure them?
Actually, this deployment, I got to talk to my wife quite a bit. It's all depending where you're at. Some of the places are, they got internet cafes and whatever. I mean, phones. We're a little special because of who we are. We've got a little bit more access to that kind of stuff. They try and take care of us a lot more than your general army soldier. Some of those guys have it pretty rough. But yeah, this deployment, where I was pretty well connected. I had a phone. We had internet. I could talk to my wife. I could talk to my parents every once in a while. I assure her, basically with reminding her all the time. I mean, she knows this, but I'm sure it's bad on her, you know, to be there all alone, and we don't have kids or anything. So reminding her of the prayers you guys give and the church and what Joe teaches all the time. She knows I'm safe, but girls like to hear reassurance. I've learned that over the years. But she does great. You hear some of these wives are just total disasters. And guys having to go home and having to deal with stuff because women have a hard time. But the wives in our community are actually pretty strong women. You know, they're used to it. They know the kind of guys they married and the community they got into. So it's not too bad. But thanks to all you guys' prayers and everything, and Joe's teaching helps calm her down. She does great. Yes, sir.
Before you deploy to a certain area, do you learn the language, at least rudimentary? And maybe you can learn some of the slang or dialects or anything of that area?
Yeah, I'm actually fluent in 42 languages. No, I can barely speak English. But, no, we learn enough. Some of the guys get some language training and do really well at it. I don't think I have that gift. Like I said, I'm trying to master fourth grade English right now. And my wife, you know, teaching English at the collegiate level, she helps me out. But yeah, we learn enough. We have phrase cards and stuff like that. We learn the important things that they need to understand from us. And I also carry a tool that helps me translate. Yeah, that thing, it even gets the accents right. They understand all the time. So. But no, my language training, no, I just learned the important phrases and stuff like that, so we can get the job done, and we also have interpreters and things like that, so when I'm standing, you know, we can bring somebody up and help out with that. Yes, sir.
Just very generally speaking, I can't talk too much. Has CENTCOM, have we been becoming more invasive as we go into Iraq and Afghanistan, and now I hear things like Somalia and Sudan? Has the trend, just overall trend of our strategy, has that changed at all? Has it been reducing? In other words, has your op tempo been reducing, or has it been increasing?
Well, I guess you got to kind of separate that from conventional to special. Our up tempo has changed slightly with different war efforts and focuses, but at the same time, it's opened up, you know, other places. Yeah, I can't get too much into that. I know the conventional side. Talking to some other people, they're pretty frustrated with things and the way the war focus has changed. some of our leadership. We haven't changed much. We've changed focus a lot, and you know that's what our command is able to do. That's what we're made for. Conventional side, yeah, I think it's changed quite a bit, and there are rules of engagement and stuff. But I think I'm going to stop talking there about that. Get myself into trouble, sir.
Yeah, are you able to tell us some of the countries or places you've been to get out of the world? No. I mean, you told me you were in Virginia earlier.
Yeah. I've been to Virginia a couple times. Maybe some off internet discussions, something like that. You know.
And you have been in the war zones and that, obviously.
Yeah, I have a little experience with that. I've been to all kinds of fun places. Met lots of nice people. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do you plan on making a career in?
I have no idea. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. But now, of course, my wife and I, we've had lots of discussions about this. Kind of depends on where the effort goes. If we're in a new country tomorrow, yeah, I guess I'll be there. If things calm down and since we're pulling out, I'm not in the military to be in the military. I guess I'll answer it like that. You know, I want to serve, and as long as we're at war, I feel it's my duty, and I have certain talents, if you will, to help that out. So. As long as we're at war, I feel inclined as an American to do that. If things calm down, then I'll be out as soon as I can.
Is there a retirement age for SEALs?
No. We follow the same suit as all the rest of the military. We're not anything special as far as that goes. You know, the ranks and everything, time in, time served, officers alike, warrant officers, stuff like that. It's all the same as regular military, so nothing strange about that. Yes, sir?
You have the pillar of fire. You mentioned that you have some of your colleagues, co-workers that don't have that foundation. When Joe points out to us that people in your age group in this country, their innumerable blessings, collegians we call them, 75% of them given up on the concept of citizenship. What protects people in the military, conventional or special forces, what buffers them, what encourages them to live with that rationale and moral relativism that prevails in this country? Is your leadership doing anything to take and encourage you at any point in the leadership mandate?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, they always offer the chaplain services and stuff like that. That's always easy access to those guys traveling and stationed over there. I think we owe people like that, they owe a lot to rap music. Sorry. That's a tough question because, you know, being brought up the way I was, it's a luxury, I guess, not having to worry about that, not really having to think about that. I often wonder myself, like, how does that guy do it? Because I'd be peeing my pants if I didn't have that. You know, I don't know. I've often wondered that myself, though. Like, how guys do it, how just, I don't know, how you call them, regular folk, non-believers, whatever. How they do the job they do without having that security. You know, I couldn't do it. I'm a chicken. I'm not sure. The conventional kids, you know, maybe that's maybe that has a lot to do with the, you know, the PTSD stuff going on nowadays. They have no frame of reference to compartmentalize that stuff and process it, and then go home and act like a normal human. Because I've never had a problem with that. I think it's there's no problem. There's nothing like coming home to America. I mean, it's an instant switch, easy day. Come home, see my beautiful wife. It's like I was never there. So maybe that has a lot to do with what people are experiencing, why they can't handle that, why they can't switch that on and off, and why they're breaking down and having those kind of problems. I would attribute it to that, not having a peace of mind and not having God in their lives. So, yes, sir.
Hey, John, I come to understand that your command's Title 10, you guys get what you need logistically. But beyond prayers, you've got a group of people you're willing to support. Are there things that we can do specifically for you or your families while you deploy, prior to deployment, while you're here? For your unit as well, obviously. Things that we can do for them.
Just keep coming and listening to that man there. that's the most you guys can do. I mean, the country's collecting taxes to do what they can for us. The single most important thing that can happen for this country happens right here 3 times a week, you know. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know you guys might not think about it that much because you're here doing the grind every day. But that's what it comes down to. That's what's going to save this country, is far to the left as we're going. And things are getting as crazy as people are, is doing this. And I know Joe beats it in you guys' heads over and over and over. As much as I get to hear him, I know you guys hear him twice as much. So, but that's the truth. And what that guy's putting out is what needs to keep happening. Yes, sir.
In your command, are you working with just SEALs? Are you working with Rangers, Air Force, Pararescue, Green Beret? Maybe you can't talk about this.
We work with some different groups of people. Yeah, I've worked with Rangers before. Now, depends on where we're at, too. What if we're, depends on where we're at. Different bases have different personnel, and also the job we're given. Yeah, we work with a lot of different groups of people, almost all of them. So at some point, we're going to deal with even people in Washington, as gross as that is. It's But, yeah, I've worked with pretty much everybody, like it or not. But that's as far as I guess I'll go on that. But yes, sir.
What kind of advice would you give to a young man or woman who's interested in joining the military but needs to set priorities?
As a founder of Grace Doctrine, what? I'm glad you asked, sir. I guess that people come from so many different walks of life, you know, and with what goals they want in the future. I mean, are they going to make it a career? Are they going to just doing it to do their time for the country? I don't know. If you want college, go to college. If you don't want anything to do with the liberals, stay out of college, man. I would say, you got to plan ahead. If they're looking to make a career out of it, I'd say get in as soon as possible. That way, you're out as soon as possible. The younger you are, you got another life to start. I guess it has to do with their motives. And if they're just doing their time, hey, go in and get it over with.
What motivated you?
Rambo. No. Sorry. No. What motivated me? No, I had two older brothers, and we watched every war movie, every Schwarzenegger movie, every Stallone movie. Red Dawn, that was a big motivator. Not Top Gun. I always wanted to serve my country. It was always our dream, as all three of boys, to be in the military. And my parents always said it was your duty to do, and I always believed that. So I always wanted to go in from when I was a little kid. Then, of course, my line of work, I wanted to do the hardest thing there was, and I thought this was it. I think I found it was. But that was my motivation. I wanted to serve my country, and it just so happens that, you know, it happened that people attacked our country, so it was a great time to join. You know, things were actually going. And I know a lot of people had the same motivation to serve their country, and, you know, not much was happening when they were serving. You know, it's just luck of the draw, I guess you would call it. So I've been blessed while I'm in to actually make a difference for this country. So I just thought it was my duty. And my parents did a great job of beating it in my head. And I thank them for it. So, anything else?
So then when did you make the decision that you wanted to be a SEAL? I mean, you guys are at the top of the top.
That was it. I went into the recruiter's office. And I actually... wanted to be a ranger because I didn't know anything. And apologize. And bleep that out. And then I went in there and went to the different offices, and I was like, what's the hardest thing you got? So the Navy guy told me, and I thought that sounded interesting since I couldn't swim. I thought that'd probably be pretty hard for me. And that's all it was. I just wanted the biggest challenge. I figure, you know, why not go big?
You know how to swim now?
A little bit. I try to avoid it, though. Anyone else? I bored you enough up here? All right, if anybody doesn't have anything else, I will turn it back over to the master. Thanks again, everybody.
Let's stay put just a second. No, you guys can sit down. While Tyler's up here, he mentioned something that reminded me that I had forgotten something very important that needed to be said today. I did have it planned, but then I'm old. Tyler is doing a magnificent job for the country in the assignment that he has personally chosen, and we certainly appreciate his being here with us today and taking time to share as much as he could with you. And to answer your questions. But there is another individual that is extremely important to the success of our armed forces. And without these individuals, those that go into harm's way, I'm sure will not have the tranquility of soul that is necessary to do their job to the ultimate. And today we need to salute Anne-Marie Risty for the job she does. Anne-Marie, you have a hard job, darling, as well as so many ladies in the military. Just last month, we had two Army guys come in from harm's way, one from Iraq, one from Afghanistan. And we saluted those wives on that occasion. And you do have a very important part to play, as you well know, in the efficiency of our armed forces and the tasks that have been placed upon them. And we in our congregation should not forget the task that has been placed on the wives. Thank you for your service to the country. Tyler, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your comments. We'll continue to pray for you. The time is limited for our time in the second session, but I listened to some of the things that Tyler had to say, and a question was asked having to do with the, let's call it the culture of the varied and sundry countries that he's been in and out of, as so many in the military are. And he described a few areas that he's been in where he's not all that impressed with the culture. Wherever you are, wherever you're born, whoever your parents are, the nationality in which you are introduced as a small child, it has a culture. And your soul is being programmed for that culture at the very beginning of your life. And as you grow older, you begin to develop a worldview. This is the devil's world, and there are many cosmic worldviews that are in evidence in this world. There are places where there is a biblical worldview. And you have been privileged to be born into that environment and to have a zeitgeist, a culture that has infused in your souls concepts of the laws of divine establishment, the divine institutions, and as believers, eventually, the thought process of the Word of God. This diagram is one that we will note next Sunday. We won't get to it today, quite obviously, but I thought it was pertinent to summarize and conclude this second session today. The Latin word is cultus, a system of religious beliefs and rituals that is defined by Merriam-Webster as the integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and behavior that depends upon the capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. Every civilization begins as a foundation for its existence with a religion of some description. Religion is the foundation of all cultures. People get together in a general locale, and how is it that they can all get along as a unit that might be, for example, called a nation? And it's because they have a belief system with which they can all agree. And the thing that establishes a belief system turns out to be religion. And I use the term advisedly, but that is true. There are religions all over this world. And wherever you go into a various country or area that subscribes to a certain religion, that is the foundation of the culture that emerges from that. And so pick your religion, pick your neck of the woods. That's what starts it all. And so you have a culture that is emerging based upon spiritual or religious principles, as the case might be. And as those religious principles coordinate everyone within that particular area, a community is formed, and therefore society emerges that all express common beliefs, more or less. But there's a foundational understanding that undergirds the whole idea. And then as that community grows, the culture, therefore, emerges based on standards from traditions passed down from one generation to the other, and, of course, the history that would be taught from one generation to another, therefore fulfilling the definition of a culture where you take whatever your belief system is, you infuse it in the souls of the next generation, they reach adulthood, they do the same thing to their children. And when that is consistently done, the culture remains solid and pretty much unscathed. There are certain cultures in our world today that have been so ingrained in their belief system that they have become rabid, radical, murderous, misogynist, you name it. Yet they believe the foundational principles of their culture. Wrong, right, indifferent, they've bought it. And they're not moving. Ultimately, you have a civilization, though, if that foundational principle is biblical theology, you wind up with a civilization that functions on order, justice, and freedom. And that's what we enjoy. But what got us to that point? From generation to generation, we had parents who taught biblical concepts to their children, as Tyler has testified regarding his. And in the future, if they're yet more Risties, I'm sure that they will each convey these principles to their children. That has not been consistently done over the last 50 years. We are not buying into, as a people, the foundational principles of our culture. We are allowing other ideas to intrude and therefore diminish the power of thought that we once had as a people. And as a result of that, we as a people are not as solid in our belief system as our enemy. And that gives the enemy the advantage. You wind up with a commonwealth that can be described in several ways, and that what you believe moves into the culture as it is expressed in several ways. For example, positive law. Not natural law, but positive law, where out of the culture come concepts of right and wrong established into laws that control the sin natures within the population. And so these laws are passed and we must obey them. And if they're founded upon right thought, then those laws maintain the order, provide the justice, and therefore ensure our freedoms. In addition to that, we have free enterprise, which is the biblical system of economy we recently established in Matthew 20. Common defense, that's a mandate in our Constitution, and whether the politicians like it or not, they have to come up with some money for the military. Arts and culture. Arts and literature. The art and the literature that's prevalent in our country today is not the fault of the art and literature. Art and literature simply reflects the zeitgeist of the moment. You know, like rap music? Rap music reflects what the people are thinking. I tell you, my mom and daddy would not have allowed that in my house, as if I would listen to that stuff. Literature. What kind of literature do we have today? It reflects our culture. Where we are is reflected by arts and literature. And finally, we have academia. No comment necessary. But it is the root cause of all else that is wrong with this country. Therefore, the current zeitgeist. What should the current zeitgeist be like? Establishment morality. Everyone should be moral. Christian integrity among those who are believers in Jesus Christ rather than emotional wrecks. Divine viewpoint. Norms and standards based on that divine viewpoint. A scale of values based on divine viewpoint. Clarity of thought. I thought Tyler exhibited great clarity of thought today. What do I mean by that? There were certain things that he could answer and certain things he couldn't, and I saw him, the wheels turn, and he told you what he could tell you. Only a man with clarity of thought would know what he could say and what he couldn't. the man's job is one of the most important that goes on out there. We'll get up tomorrow, Monday, be Monday, and we'll all go our merry way and we'll do what we do. But in all probability, no one's going to shoot at you unless you're in Oslo. Traditional beliefs for a client nation must be based on biblical truth. Honorable behavior. Tyler brought out there's some cultures that do not treat their women honorably. Sophisticated problem solving. That would be 10 problem-solving devices that God has given us to resolve every exigency we face. Wisdom. Wisdom is what occurs when you have maximum doctrine in the soul, but the moxie to know how to use it. Have the information to apply it. What do I apply? When do I apply it? How do I apply it? Historical orientation, know your history. The country that doesn't know its history, according to Santayana, is condemned to repeat it. And we're heavily tracking down that road. Spiritual common sense. Gives you common sense. And finally, what emerges from such a culture, from such a community, from such a civilization, is patriotism. The article I read that I referenced to you in first session indicated that young people today do not understand the concept, the need for, or any advantage in being a patriot. I was once told that a patriot is someone who is nationalistic. Like, my country, right or wrong, my country. Well, I'm still for this country, although a lot that goes on here is just flat wrong. You try, though, you put yourself in any other environment in this world. Go there. My wife and I have friends in England. We've been wanting to go see them, visit them, been invited to go see them for years. But it is a sinkhole, as was testified from this pulpit by Pastor David Ross only a few months ago, citizen of England. There is no spiritual life in England. None. He's a pastor, can't get a church because there's no one interested. So what's going on in the zeitgeist there? So yes, a patriot is someone who loves his country because it is within that environment that he can have maximum freedom. And I'm speaking of the United States of America. Now, in conclusion then, let me dismiss you with these couple of thoughts. It is Jesus Christ who controls history. He's the one that operates the wall of fire. What he plans to do with this country is based on the free will decisions of those people who are in it, primarily those who are believers in his royal family. He inventories your soul on a daily basis. The content of that thought determines how that wall of fire will be managed. He can eliminate people that need to be eliminated in a heartbeat. Circumstances can emerge within our society that will force decisions to be made that otherwise wouldn't be. So we don't have to worry about what the Dufi are doing. Jesus Christ controls this, and if we do our duty, he will take care of business. He's done it in the past. He will do it in the future. We can depend on him. Our duty, our objective, our motivation, our obligation is to grow in grace. That's what we can do for the country. And in the meantime, people like Tyler Ristey and Mark Davey and Brett Turner, Vic Modir, who fought in Desert Storm number 1. Forget what they call that one. There's so many. Mike Weber has been to Iraq. Gary Watson, I see, sitting there. Mike Probasco. Les Gatto. Danny Hunt. Wellen Schott. Bernal Birka. I'm looking across the room trying to... Matt Lawson. Debbie Daniluk. There are others. We're going and on. Everyone's done the duty to the country. So proud of this church and Les Gatto, Les Johnson, and Ryan. See, they're everywhere. Doing the duty for the country. But those who really carry the weight are those who are positive and moving forward in the Word of God. They hold the fort while we get our ducks in a row. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to You for the power of Your Word, the privilege of studying it, the opportunities it gives us to perceive circumstances of life. We thank You for Tyler and his family being here with us today, reminding us of what an important role our military services play in the freedom we enjoy to study Your Word. It is our prayer that that wall of fire that protects Tyler Risty will protect all who are believers in Jesus Christ who presently serve out of this church in the armed forces. There would be invisible historical impact from them over to those with whom they also serve. And then in the meantime, that we would do our duty here to continue to take in Your Word, to grow in grace and provide our Lord Jesus Christ those thoughts and concepts necessary for Him to manage the history of this country in a way that will restore our freedom. May we be encouraged and motivated by that prospect and the part that each of us can play in its culmination. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ our Savior. Charis human kai rene, plethun thae en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.